dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay with us for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF, your hometown station right there in Madison and North Florida, cowboy country. Hallelujah. Classic country music, classic gospel singing, and classic gospel preaching. If we're bringing it from the Word of God, then it is, it's not something new and improved and different. It is the original. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're listening by computer, we're glad that you've joined us today, anywhere in the United States of America, anywhere in the world. And we're so glad that you are with us. And if you have downloaded this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus from our website, we're glad that you came. We appreciate you finding in that website something that will be a blessing to you. We have no strings attached on any of these sermons, any of these teachings. There are no charges involved. And we're just wanting to disseminate the good news to every creature, amen, all over this world, to build up the body of Christ, the church, and to invite those who don't know Jesus into His glorious kingdom of grace and love and peace and power. Praise God. Well, we've got a great message today because it's coming from God's Word. And because of this Christmas season, when so many things can come along in the celebration of Christmas to actually take us away from the true meaning of Christmas, we want to talk about some of the core issues that would cause us to have a Christ-centered Christmas. If I was going to title this, which I am, I don't know a better title than How to Have a Christ-Centered Christmas. Praise God. If you're interested in that title, you stay tuned. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it's not too late for you to have a Christ-centered Christmas. Please stay tuned today. Amen. We're going to invite you to come to our website if you would like to come. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, would you kindly contact your station right there, WMAF. Let them know it's a blessing. It will encourage them that you're listening to this fine station. It will encourage us to know that the gospel is finding its mark in hearts right there in Madison and North Florida through the efforts of this radio ministry and this outreach of our church here in Tampa, Florida. And if you would like to come to our website, you can do the same thing on our website. There's a place to leave a message or a testimony, a place to blog. There's just many opportunities there to receive from the Word of God, and no strings attached, no charges at all. Just type in THCOG. That stands for the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, Florida, where I've been the senior pastor for 38 years this January. So there's a lot of materials that go back down through those years and recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus. So if you'd communicate with us, if you feel led to, we'd be so glad to have some words from you that are in this listening audience and part of our listening family. Praise God. We wish you above all a Christ-centered Christmas this year. And that is the title, How to Have a Christ-Centered Christmas. I'm going to read from a verse of Scripture in the way that Paul closed his letters, something so vital to having a Christ-centered Christmas, to enjoying the fullness of the blessing of Jesus. Let me just read the way he closed one of his letters, a phrase he used more than once in his letters, Philippians 4 in verse 9. These things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And the God of peace shall be with you. We're going to be talking about Emmanuel, God with us, that title given to Jesus at his birth, and what it means to us and how vital that is to having a Christ-centered Christmas. And if you're not a Christian, this involves you, because God wants you to know Him in this intimate, personal way, and to experience the God of peace in your heart this year. Amen. Maybe you've never experienced that in your life. This could be the year that you will experience Christmas like you have never experienced it. Of the many descriptive phrases used in the Bible to identify God, one of the most arresting and appealing is this title, the God of Peace. Though God is addressed as the God of Israel, the God of heaven, the God of hosts, the God of patience, and the God of all grace, the most meaningful for this troubled world in which we live is the one given to us by St. Paul, right here in our text, the God of Peace. What a beautiful description of God. You know, in the Old Testament, the Bible said these be His royal titles, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Wonderful Counselor, and the Prince of Peace. Again, the most endearing of those phrases to people living in such an anguish, pressure-filled world, full of discouragements, disappointments, heartache, and heartbreak, is the God of Peace is with us. And that's why it is a core issue of a Christ-centered Christmas, is to understand, appreciate, and appropriate the God of Peace and His promise to never leave us, never forsake us after He saves us. It's a promised blessing for people in trouble. I want to say that again. This is a promised blessing for people in trouble. We've been speaking about God's peace in troubled times, and it becomes crystal clear that God's supreme act of love and compassion was to come into our fallen world in the person of Christ, to enter into our pain and our suffering, to give Himself for us, that He might save us, and then stay with us until the end of the age, the end of time. In Matthew chapter 1, an angel comes to Joseph with the words of instruction and insight. It said, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her, Mary, away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You see, the name Jesus is derived from the Old Testament Joshua. You can hear it in the pronunciation of it at that time, Yeshua, Joshua, meaning God saves or God is salvation. Jesus indeed is our Lord and our Savior. He's the promised one. He's also called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Jesus is the fulfillment of this ancient promise given to the nation of Israel in a time of great tumult and great trouble. I want to submit to you today that we are a people living in a time of great tumult and great trouble. As globally, worldwide, this is true. And in America, in particular, it is true. And in hearts and lives of people all over America, it is true today. You can't hardly turn on the radio. You can't pick up a paper. You can't hear the news of the day without hearing of all of the trouble that is taking place all over the world. Listen very carefully today. Jesus is the fulfillment. His coming to this earth as a baby in that manger in that little town of Bethlehem is the fulfillment of an ancient promise to Israel and expanding on that in the new covenant to all the world. Amen. That God is going to intervene. God is going to do something so powerful, so personal, and so wonderful. 800 years before the birth of Jesus, things were grim for the Lord's people. Judah had been invaded by the king of Syria and the king of Israel. Jerusalem hadn't been conquered, but King Ahaz has been taken captive and then released. He suffered such losses. He was about to appeal to the Assyrian king for help. This would take Ahaz and his nation further away from God, because the king didn't have faith in the plans and power of God. The Lord offered to give Ahaz a sign of his plans and power, but Ahaz refused. So the Lord gave this sign anyway. Not just to the king for his immediate comfort, but to the whole nation as part of the meaning of their history. And it's the sign of the virgin and her son. And because of the new covenant, and the Gentile nations being grafted into the true vine, God's sign becomes our sign of His commitment to us today. The virgin shall be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. No matter how dark the days may get, God has sent a Savior and God has promised to be with us. The great and enduring truth of Christmas is not just that God sent a Savior alone, but that God is a Savior, and that Savior is with us right now. If you're a Christian, He promised to never leave you, and He promised never to forsake you. The baby born on Christmas Day, the baby lying in the manger, is the Emmanuel. He is God with us. The fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah on Christmas Day does not mark the beginning of God being with His covenant people, but it marks the culmination, the climax, the consummation of God's commitment to be with us. 80-year-old Moses, before the burning bush, said, at the time God gave Moses a great commission to lead Israelites, slaves out of Egypt into the land of Canaan. And Moses felt so inadequate for such a task, he said these words, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" In Exodus 3 and verse 11. And God said in reply in verse 12, "I will be with you." And He was. While traveling in the wilderness, the children of Israel only had to lift their eyes forward and upward to see that the Lord indeed was with them, even as He promised. As we read in Exodus 13:21-22, "By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people." The reason we can have the peace of God is because our sins initially have been forgiven. Jesus, Yeshua, a Savior, has come and did what is necessary for us to be saved. And now the God of peace can be with us. Praise God. Now He can go with us all the way. You know, He never promised there wouldn't be problems and pressures and disappointments and discouragements and temptations and tests. But He promised when they come, "I am with you." The Old Testament covenant promise was to ancient Israel, when you go through the fire, not if you go through, but when you go through, it will not be kindled upon you, for I am with you. And when you go through the waters, they shall not overflow thee, for I am with you. Because God is with us, we can run to Him when we're tempted and when we're troubled. I love Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Amen. Something I'm going to celebrate this Christmas is the fact that I have the peace of sins forgiven, and I have the God of peace with me every step of my life, all the way to the end of my journey. Hallelujah. He promised to never leave me, never forsake me, but to go with me. God has come down. God has took on flesh. God understands the human condition. God understands your hurt today, your pain. God understands why you're addicted if you're an addict. God understands. He doesn't condone the sin, but He understands the human condition. He knows why people look through sin for that only He can give. And He reaches out by His Spirit and through His Word to direct us back to Himself for the true answer, the true freedom, the true fulfillment that nothing in this world can grant and give. Let's read this scripture together. Hebrews 4:14-16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I'm so glad when I'm tempted, when I'm tested, and temptation takes many different forms. One of them is when the flesh is tempted to give in to the tantalizing, seductive things of this world to satisfy it in a sinful way, looking for fulfillment, looking for love in all the wrong places, if you please, and tearing up instead of satisfying, leaving us empty and ashamed. But God understands our human condition. He understands the void in our life. He understands, and because He has come down, took on flesh, and become one of us and one with us, with the exception of the fact that He never sinned, but He felt the pull of it. He understands why we do the things we do, and He knows exactly how to deliver us. He knows exactly what to do to set us free. He knows what you need more than you know what you need. We're going to ask Him for what we think we need. He's going to give us what He knows we need. I often say this based on that old television broadcast, Father Knows Best, when in fact Father doesn't always have all the answers in the earthly sense. I'm a dad and I know that I don't have all the answers, but I know who does. Praise God, my Heavenly Father knows best. He's with us. He's committed to us. Christ experienced every kind of temptation that He might help those that are being tempted. Even the temptation to despair, to become discouraged. When He prayed in the garden, He felt it. He felt it. He said His soul was sorrowful even unto death. But he continued. He set His face like a flint, continued His journey toward the cross. Hallelujah. Praise God. Friend of mine, I want you to know that God understands you like no one and loves you like no one. He knows you like better than you know yourself, and He loves you in spite of yourself. And He wants to forgive you, and He wants to set you free. He wants to save you. Yeshua, thou call His name Jesus. He's a Savior. But then He wants to go with you through this life, in this fallen world, and keep you close to Himself. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's a picture in Milan of a little cherub, you know, a little angel, who's feeling one of the points of the crown of thorns with her fingers. There's a look of wonder and amazement upon her face. She's been told that it means agony. It means pain, but she can't feel it. To her, it's so incomprehensible because she belongs to a different world. She belongs to a world that has never experienced pain. She was never born into the conditions in which the Son of Man, Jesus, was born, where there was sin, where there was suffering, where there was sacrifice. But Emmanuel is God with us. God did not send an angel. He sent His Son. He sent Himself. And He took upon Himself our flesh that He might suffer, that when we suffer, He might know what we go through. He might empathize. He might comfort. He might succor us. It's an old English word. It said that Jesus is able to succor them that are tempted because He experienced that Himself. He never sinned. Not one of us can say that. In fact, the Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark, as the Greek puts it. Missed the target entirely. Amen. Every one of us need a Savior. But friend, God offers more than just the forgiveness of our sins. He offers Himself to us, the God of peace, to go with us through this fallen world. And when the trouble time comes, and it will, and the hurting time comes, it will. He said, I'm there with you. It's a promise of God. You know, He told ancient Israel, not if, but when you go through the fire, it won't kindle on you, for I am with you. Praise God. When you walk through the waters, they shall not overflow you, for I am with you. And He says to us in the new covenant, for lo, I am with you all of the way. I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll go with you all of the way. We used to sing that old hymn of the faith. I have somebody with me to share my heavy load. I feel His presence with me every day. Though trouble overtake me on life's weary road, I have somebody with me all the way. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16 through 18 says, for verily He took not Himself the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. Praise God. I like what Benjamin Warfield said. These words, and I quote, the glory of the incarnation is that it presents to our adoring gaze not a humanized God or a deified man, but a true God-man, one who is all that God is, and at the same time, all that man is. And that means this, one on whose almighty arms we can rest, and to whose human sympathy we can appeal. Your wife can sympathize with you, but oh, what it is to have the Almighty God sympathize with us. Your mother, your father, a good friend can sympathize with you, but the fact that Almighty God can not only sympathize, but empathize with us. Whatever your need is today, let this word sink into your mind and sink into your heart deeply. God can now, because of what Christ did at Calvary, if we receive Him as our Savior, God is with us, Emmanuel. He'll be called Emmanuel because He will be able to come to us, come within us, make His abode with us. Amen. This is essentially the Christmas story. God reaching down to earth in the flesh of Christ. On Christmas Day, we're going to celebrate the birth, the beginning of Emmanuel. A day, a new day, a new dawn. When no matter how many enemies surround us and how insignificant we may feel sometimes, God is with us. Jesus is the Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, do you realize what this means, friend, today? Do you realize what this tells us? Think of it this way. In Jesus, divine omnipotence moved into a human arm. In Jesus, divine wisdom was cradled in a human brain. In Jesus, divine love throbbed in a human heart. In Jesus, divine compassion glistened in a human eye. In Jesus, divine grace poured from human lips. Christmas means that fallen man is not left alone to try to save himself. Christ has come. God has come with one glorious and holy purpose, to seek and to save that which was lost. God took on flesh so he could do what? Become a beautiful baby in a manger and evoke warm, fuzzy feelings? No. He came, took on human flesh, that he could go to the cross and take the punishment for all of our sins, and take it upon himself so that justice may be served, so that grace might abound and flow down to you and to flow down to me today. Oh, I want this to be a spiritually significant Christmas. I don't want it to be one of those materialistic, humanized Christmases where we build and build and build to an anticlimactic day when we are worn down, worn out, sitting thinking about that we ate too much and spent too much. That is not the kind of Christmas God wants you to have. He wants you to celebrate. Yes, I'm going to have lights. I'm going to have presents. Not so much this year because of the conditions that we would just want our kids and our grandkids and our great grandkids to know there's got to be more to this than stuff under a tree. Listen, if you don't have peace, friend, in your heart, you'll never find it in a package underneath a tree. Praise God. I don't care if it's the keys to a brand new automobile. Amen. It won't bring lasting peace. It will not bring continuing fulfillment. But if you get a hold of the truth of Christmas, if you are saved and you are in a right relationship with God where He can walk with you every step of your life, and you feel His presence near you every day, I'm going to tell you, praise God, amen, you have something to celebrate this Christmas like no one else. And I plan on celebrating. I plan on experiencing and expressing joy this season. But it's not the joy that can be found on a shelf in a department store, a jewelry store, or a car dealership. It's the joy of something that surpasses it, these things so far, that Jesus is called in the new covenant the unspeakable gift. And I pray that you will discover the unspeakable gift of God's grace and love this Christmas. And if you're a Christian, you'll unwrap this wonderful gift of grace. And you will understand, appreciate, and appropriate Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And find the joy of Him anew and afresh this Christmas season. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I pray right now that you will receive Him into your life, that you will have the greatest Christmas that you could ever possibly experience, a Christmas of knowing the Christ, the Savior, the Emmanuel of God in your own personal life. Don't put it off. Let it begin right now and celebrate with Christians all over the world that know that this baby born in this manger in Bethlehem was going to go to the cross, take our sins, pay our sin debt, set us free, and promise, I'm going to abide with you forever and forever. Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, we love you today. Will you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?